The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Good morning, Leonard!
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies!
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on a Sunday afternoon, August 28th, 2022. For your Monday morning enjoyment, if you go that way. And my guests today are Rory Albanese, Corey Ryan Forrester, and Clark Wolf. Hello.
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 I was worried again. We had a false start where my feed dumped out and thought that happened again, but everyone was just being polite. No one wants to talk over each other. So let's meet all of you individually. And thanks to the recent, very recent Allison Rosen amendment to the DLM Constitution, in alphabetical order by first name. Yeah, that really flipped on you, Rory Albanese.
You know what? I'm thrilled. My whole life I had to go first.
You always have to go first. And now suddenly someone who always has to go last is launched into first position. I'm so delighted that this is the first time we've applied it and it's worked so beautifully for everybody involved, because Corey's just used to hanging out.
That's true.
Right there, you know, close to the beginning, but not too close.
Mm-mm.
Let's not get.
How are you, Doug?
I'm good, thanks. So wait, who's first then?
Would it be Clark?
It is. See, I told you I'm stupid.
And also, yeah, because she has a W-2, so it means a lot. Mm-hmm.
Hot off of shooting a movie, Clark Wolf is here.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Hello. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Allison Rosen, for finally speaking up for first names with early in the alphabet, last names with later in the alphabet. People like me and you.
Well, this is the best excuse I know of to not do Doug Loves Movies. I asked you to do it last week or week before recently, and you couldn't do it because you're shooting a movie. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. Well, I believe that the announcement will be coming very soon, out and about. But I can tell you that it is a horror movie which, as you know, Doug, are my favorite kinds of movies.
Right.
And it's so funny because people, when I found out I was doing this, I would tell like close friends or family, they'd be like, you and your horror movies. And I'm like, you know, actors don't get to pick the movies that they're in most of the time. I mean, I look forward one day to picking the movies I'm in, but it just happened to work out this way. So I'm very excited. It was a great experience and it's going to be gnarly. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and you bring it because of your love of horror films. You bring a positive, like that's a thing. People get cast all the time, I think, because they just are already, you know, fired up for what you know, what's going to be, you know, what people are going to attempt to make. You know.
Yes. Well, I cannot say what the actual movie is. Again, it'll be out soon.
I love it. I was hoping when I asked you, I love to ask people stuff that they can't. Tell us the answer to.
Well, what I can tell you the answer to very quickly is that it did work out being a horror fan because there is an incredible special effects team on this movie. We have mostly practical effects. And so when it was time for me to be covered in said practical effects, I was not only excited about it, but very like patient with it. So it was a great fit. It worked out that way too.
Well, that's a big reveal right there that it's involved in that way. And I look forward to hearing more. Perhaps you'll be like,
can I ask a follow up? Am I allowed to ask a follow up?
Please jump in. Please ask.
You say practical effects. So like, that means like they've just putting gross shit on you when somebody like explodes, right? Like it's not CG.
Can confirm.
Can I just ask this? What level of gross shit? Like, did you ever have like a big chicken thigh on your face? You know, like what are they using to make stuff look like gore?
I can give you one thing that was pretty great. It was actually the least comfortable, and it was they used this substance that was a hair gel mixed with water to wet us down when we were supposed to look extra scary. And it makes you look wet without having to pour water all over you and constantly like dousing you with water. So that was actually kind of a huge surprise for all of us. And like, wow, we never, so not the bloody kind, but like, oh, this is how you make a really wet effect. It was the worst though, because it was cold and it kept us very cold the whole time. But that was kind of cool, but no chicken parts that I know of.
Was it super sticky?
It was slick, you know, because it's hair, and it was mostly water. So we were all kind of surprised. What is that? Oh, it's just hair gel mixed with a bunch of water. And we were like, wow, this is a great special effects team. There's more interesting, cool, gnarly special effects than just wetting us down. But that's one that I can tell you, one little secret.
That sounds like something they'd put on somebody as one of the layers when they're going to light them on fire.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, fortunately, no one was set on fire accidentally. I cannot confirm or deny if anyone was intentionally set on fire.
I'm just saying you might have, been even more safe than you knew.
Maybe.
I just was laughing at that. Just you're just like, I'm going to go take a smoke break. And then everyone just explodes.
Yeah, we were covered in a lot of flammables, I will say.
Our next guest today is a comedian, an author. What doesn't he do? This, I thought it'd be funny to say that after only listing two things. It's Corey Ryan Forrester, everybody.
Hello, hey, Doug.
Dude. Welcome back, dude.
Doug, I heard a rumor about you, and
oh, no.
I don't like to deal in rumor and innuendo. I always like to go straight to the source so I can have you confirm it. I heard that you loved movies.
Oh, well, you know what? It's about time that got out because I've been, you know, telling everybody, but just people just don't seem to know that yet. Like, so it's good to hear that the dam finally burst.
It's out, baby.
And the word is out that Doug loves movies. Thank you for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for once again having me. I hope I fare better than the last time I was on. As most of y'all know, I got completely dusted by the Ken Jennings of the Doug Loves Movies world, Mr. Brandon Collins.
It's funny you mention him because he won last week, but he's busy today. Like he was supposed to be here today.
Yeah, well.
And he couldn't make it, so we'll have him back soon. But the point is, you know, you're like one of those people that gets off the plane right before it crashes. You really lucked out. Yeah. And when I say gets off right before it crashes, of course, I'm referring to a pilot with a parachute. Okay, so where are we? Where are you? That's the question. Where are you?
That's a great question. I genuinely don't know. I think I'm somewhere in Pennsylvania. Maryland. I see. Here's the deal. I performed at a nudist retreat this weekend, and I'm on my way home from the Poconos. And the only way that I was going to be able to make this podcast was to just pull over somewhere between the Poconos and home and get a hotel. And I did that, but I genuinely didn't even look to see where I was. I don't know what state I'm in.
Okay.
But well, I appreciate
your dedication to being there, wherever yeah, that is.
I'm here.
And getting internet. I can't believe they have internet there.
The way I always like to figure out what state I'm in is just how quickly I can get meth.
Well, dude, you can't see me because we're right on video, but like people just give me meth. Like they're like, I bet this guy will like it.
All right. Yeah. Then you're probably like Pennsylvania.
Yeah. They hear my accent and they're like, this boy wants a corn dog and some meth.
I mean, if they're paired up like that, it doesn't sound so bad.
No, it does not. You need a full stomach.
I'm already addicted to corn dogs, so how could that be?
Well, yeah, I'm glad to be here, Doug. Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you, dude, and joining us for the first time, a guy who probably never mentions that he has 9 Emmys.
God,
for writing and producing, right? You can't bring that up ever, right? You're too cool for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not too cool for it. But
no, but you know what I mean? You're cool in the sense that you're not cool, so you don't bring it up because that's cool.
I guess so, yeah.
Right? But, you just chill about it.
Totally.
Where are they? Are they all set up as the end of each hole at a miniature golf course in your backyard?
I've got they're
I mean, I'm just spitballing. I don't know what somebody does with 9 Emmys.
No, but holy shit, that's a great idea. The only reason I don't have a mini golf course in my backyard is because I'm scared Corey will come over and fucking dominate it.
You're damn right, buddy.
Yeah.
Which Emmy was it where you
helped bring one of his fucking titanium putters to my backyard?
Which number Emmy was it where you kind of stopped caring if you were getting, like, you know what I mean? Like,
here's the truth of this. I worked at a TV show that won a lot of Emmys. And although I was a big part of the show many times and in many ways, I was one of many people that were part of this really big show. One of those people happened to be Jon Stewart. So, you know, he wins a lot of things because he's like really smart, you know? So if you hang around with a guy like that, you end up with a lot of things. Anyway, back to this podcast. Doug, I want to say this. I'm a fucking huge fan of yours. And we did that show together at Largo and I was fucking backstage crying, laughing. So I was thrilled when you asked me to do your podcast.
Oh, that's fantastic. So nice of you to say. And
I think you're very funny.
Well, that's why you're here, because like I had a few episodes in a row where no one was laughing at my jokes. So I was like, I'll get Rory in here.
Yeah, that's the move, man. I won't even mute.
So is Rory is short, of course, for roaring with laughter.
Yes, it's short for Rortholomew.
And I've yet to officially say your name as our third guest today. Also, I'm just so confused by this flipping the alphabet thing, but I'm really going to try to commit to it because I do feel it's a time for change. Rory Albanese is here. Hello, yeah, Rory. How are you today?
Thank you, Jack. I'm good, man. And even though you flipped the alphabet, you still stopped to tell me you were flipping the alphabet. And so in a way, I already went first. But
true. Yeah, I guess I'm all over the place today because, you know, there's no reason for formality here. If somebody's got something good to say, you know, of course, I want to hear about it. And you're doing stand up full time again now.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Full time.
The shackles of television are off.
Well, no, I'm doing some TV work too. And where I'm trying to be as diverse as possible, but I am working right now in TV. But shouldn't we start the fucking, this can't be it. Talking about
this
what
is
I'm
it.
Doing.
It's all intros.
Yes, what is the name of this podcast? Long intros?
Yeah. I mean,
we're doing Doug's long intros podcast right now.
When you're watching Jeopardy, aren't you like, why are they going back to the game so quickly? I want to know more about
that. I want to know more about that guy, Mark. I want to know more about his quirky stories at work.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to get to it. But first, we have a little chat before we play some games.
All right.
And
you want to intro all the producers, too?
It is about movies. So you're getting your wish, I think.
Yeah.
And it is somewhat of a game because you do have to make a selection. This is the part of the show I call Recommendation Nation. And that's where I ask each of you to recommend a movie, but from a category of my choosing that I will tell you now. And then each of you can, you know, pick one movie you like in that category. There's so many movies that fit this category. It's back to school time right now. I went to an amusement park the other day. It was empty. It was so amazing. So please recommend a movie about school, or as they say in Sing Street, skewel.
Does it have to be, is there any parameters to this movie? Cause like, just if it has some connection to you or some meaning or some reason, or does it have to be good?
No questions. You're out. No, it's a movie, you know, just pick the movie that fits that category that you would most recommend to people, just a general recommendation, something that's going to land with people, but then, you know, might not be familiar with it.
You're not
looking for like E.T. or something like that, you know?
Yeah, right.
Right. Because also that movie's not about school. That's about being schooled.
I mean,
right. E.T. teaches a lot of people on Earth what's up.
There's a what I would call, Doug, you'll probably know this movie from when I was a kid, probably like considered almost culty then, called 3 o'clock High.
Oh, yeah.
About dude, it's pretty straightforward movie. This movie, if I remember it, but I don't know why it popped into my head first when you said brought this category up.
It's a fun watch because it's got pretty hyperactive photography and editing. Like it's the first movie of a. It was a short, and then he made it. Somebody gave him money. In fact, it was Spielberg, I think, gave him money to make it feature length. His name's Phil Juano, and he went on to make like, you know, U2 Rattle and Hum. Like he's been like a successful director ever since. But it's a really quirky.
Yeah, it's got a style. Movie. It almost has the style stylish, of the Hot for Teacher video. You know?
yeah.
Like it's shot in like it's a weird flick.
Yeah, but it's that's a good one. So thank you for reminding everybody about that 3 o'clock High. Of course, that being instead of High Noon and the showdown was happening after school. Yeah. Who's next, Clark?
Doug, you have one? May I ask you a question?
Okay, everybody gets one question before they answer.
Does karate school count?
I think you can't argue out that you can't say that karate school isn't a school. The word school's right in there.
By the way, so... Biden just paid off my karate school loans.
Congrats.
So I just wanted to throw a quick thank you.
I mean, you have the priciest brown belt of all time. Yeah, so I'm glad.
I paid what I paid, but I fucking got it. You know.
Yeah.
If karate school counts, then I'm going to recommend The Foot Fist Way. I'm sure you've seen it. A lot of people don't know about it. It was like Danny McBride's like first little like jaunt. Think he did it himself. And I love that movie. It's very, very underrated. And it's awesome. I mean, he's like, if you've never seen it, but of course you're familiar with Danny McBride and Eastbound and Down, it's like if Kenny Powers was even more of a loser, which I know is
insane. That's exactly it.
It really is. And it is just fantastic. Him and Ben Best, who played Clegg, rest in peace. He plays like a Chuck Norris type. And Danny McBride is a dojo master, and it is hilarious.
It's very funny, very low key. Kind of reminded me at that time of Wes Anderson's first one, Bottle Rocket.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, Danny McBride is just, I've always loved that guy. And guess what? You meet him in person, couldn't be nicer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, super sweet guy. Can't get him on this show, though. Doesn't like trivia. All right. Clark, what do you think? Do you have a school movie?
I do. And for speaking of school and McBride, Vice Principals is also criminally underrated. Not a movie, I realize, but maybe some of your audience would like it. Do a double feature of Foot Fistway and Vice Principals. So yes, here's my movie that has some scenes at school. And it's Orphan, the original Orphan. So we just covered this movie on my show that I do on twitch.tv/fearhq. So it's a little plug as well. But I love Orphan so much. It is so good. And it is just only it's so of its time and so special. And Esther does go to school and she gets bullied. And, you know, there's a lot of school related content in it. So check out Orphan. It's on Paramount Plus. Orphan First Kill, fine, but Orphan is, it's so great.
You're saying OG Orphan is better than the new Orphan.
Yes, hands down. Absolutely.
Same Orphan though, same actress.
Same Orphan, same so Orphan.
Little spoiler for Orphan 1 there. And, yes.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And is this an actress that's like, has she done anything else besides being Orphan or is that her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thing? Isabel Furman. She's in a bunch of stuff. She works all the time. And she, I believe she was in the Hunger Games movies. She does a lot of TV. She's a fabulous, fabulous.
Oh, she was like the younger sister that she went and went in tribute for?
You know. Or... I don't know. I don't know who exactly
she was. I do recognize that name, though, now that you say it.
Let me look it up. I know she was on Masters of Sex.
Was she an orphan in Hunger Games, too, though? Because that's a really weird, specific typecast.
Did I lie?
She just wears really ratty clothes. Everyone's just like, oh, she must. That actress must be an orphan.
Yeah,
she's the only kid actor without a stage mom.
Yes, that's right. She did by herself.
If you show up by yourself, they're just going to think you're an orphan. That's true.
That's it.
That's like, very
true. We can only cast you as an orphan.
Yeah. Well, that's a, you know, that's a curveball of a choice. I appreciate it. For me, just for me to toss one in there, I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm sure there's some parts of it that might be like troublesome. But I still have fond feelings for the Rodney Dangerfield comedy Back to School.
Best. I love that movie.
Right? There's just something about it. It's so formulaic, but him just bouncing around.
It's formulaic in some ways, but not. I mean, because it's Rodney, nothing is formulaic. Like I don't know, man. Like he fucking calls Kurt Vonnegut, writes his book report on Kurt Vonnegut. and then Kurt Vonnegut shows up at his fucking door and writes his book report about himself. And then he gets like a C on it and he calls Vonnegut. He's like, Vonnegut! He's like yelling at Kurt Vonnegut. That's not standard, man.
Dangerfield was so great in that, like, every movie that he was in, they were like, okay, you're going to play this character, but just do your act.
Yeah.
And he did, and it was awesome.
But that, in a lot of ways, every actor is, right? Like Al Pacino's always just Al Pacino.
Right.
Something, right? So it's just you love Al Pacino. Like, if it's a dentist, I want him to be like, I'm pulling your teeth, you know? Like,
yeah.
Anytime Al Pacino says anything, I'm happy, you know?
I'm pulling him back out.
I don't think Rodney ever attempted an accent or being a blind guy, though.
No, he did. You're right. He didn't have it. But I just fucking love Rodney.
No. Al Pacino has less range than he thinks he has.
No, he has an incredible range. My point is, at the end of the day, what you love about his characters is that underneath them, they're Al Pacino.
Al Pacino in a different wig.
100%. It's at the end of the day, I'm like, I just love what everything Al Pacino does. You know?
Yeah, whether he's Dr. Death or
there are other good actors whose names you don't know. But the people we love are still that person underneath their characters, I think, anyway. You know, I think that's what makes them
difference. There's gotta be that
a movie star and a good actor. Star power. Yeah, star power, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very exciting visit to Recommendation Nation. And now we're going to play some games right after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back, and the first game we're going to play today is called The Little Search Engine That Could. And here's how it works. I plug something into a search engine, into the search engine on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and then just look at what pops up because things come up in the order of their popularity on IMDb. So in this particular case, I typed the words how to, T-O, how to. And then I took the top 10 things that came up on IMDb. And the three of you are going to take turns guessing movies with the titles with the words how to, just movies, because How to Get Away with Murder, the TV show, is number one on the list overall. But this is just movies. And you'll each get three shots at it. And we are starting in reverse alphabetical order, or first name alphabetical order, I guess is a better way to put it. So, Clark.
All right.
You get to name one first. And if you get the one that's at number one on the list, you get 10 points. If you get the one at number 10, you get 1 point. And then everything else in between, you take that one off the board. If yours isn't in the top 10, you get no points, but there's also no penalty. Okay. What's your first guess, Clark?
So my first guess was, of course, How to Get Away with Murder. But my first movie guess is going to be How to Train Your Dragon.
You're going How to Train Your Dragon out of the gate?
Yes.
As number one or two or three or four on the list of movies with How to in the title.
Yes, that is my final answer.
That is the correct answer in terms of it being on the list. But not only that, it is number one on the list. Clark, you're out of the gate in this game with 10 points.
Oh, boy.
Incredible start.
Thank you, Allison Rosen, for letting me go first.
Corey?
Oh, God.
What do you think, man? You got something to choose from?
That was definitely my guess, was How to Train Your Dragon.
Need to make sure you have the exactly correct title if you, just sort of take a guess, because, obviously,
I can't remember
a lot of how-to movies out there.
I can't remember if this is a TV show or movie, but I'm just going to throw it out there. How to Please a Woman.
How to Please a Woman is on the list.
Yay.
At number five, which makes it worth 6 points. That is a strong, I didn't think anyone would come up with How to Please a Woman.
Well, my wife is a that type person movie or TV show.
She's like, she like pops that on and then just glares at you the whole time.
I've never seen her watch it, but I heard her and my sister talking about it, but that's why I didn't know if it was a TV show or a movie. So I just had my fingers crossed.
I love it. And that is a good job, Rory. Eight titles left.
I mean, I don't
know one of them.
I have one in my head. I can't. I hope there's not a second round.
There's three rounds, but you might think of more. You see, like some more might come to your mind during the game. You know?
Okay, how to lose a guy in 10 days?
See, you came out with a really good one. You're already in second place because that one is number 4 and nice. Worth 7 points. Go back to Clark. Can she keep a comfortable lead?
So I'm going to take a little gamble here.
Okay.
That there is no subtitle on How to Train Your Dragon 2. So my answer is going to be How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Well, it's very clever of you to think of sequels and then Next Level, because so many of these have subtitles these days. For you to know that it did not have a subtitle is also brilliant. That is number 3 on the list. It's worth 8 more points. Clark has 18 points. Oh, my goodness. Corey.
How to Train Your Dragon 3?
I'm sorry, Corey. That is not the correct title. And also, I'm not even going to confess if it fell into the top 10. I should have said that first.
We're allowed to just keep guessing the same fucking movie over and over again.
Is that what happened?
It just felt like a lot of How to Train Your Dragons came down.
Well, right. one of them was a guess, and one of them I knew.
Yeah, we did one and
that's
two.
That's the difference.
And then there was an attempt at the title in part 3.
I'm so screwed, guys. Unfortunately,
the title is messed up.
I'm just trying to buy some time. Is there not a phone a friend, but like, can I ask for like, do you get like a clue or something? You know, like,
No, I mean, I thought the, you know, initially someone saying How to Train Your Dragon was a pretty good clue. There might be other How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah. That's true.
Especially it being number one. But I don't know. I don't see any other clues here other than just you got to think, just, you know, can you think of any other movie that has how to in it?
I'm trying.
You know, do that game where you start to say it and see if something comes out.
I know, I've been doing that this whole time. How to, can I phone Orion? You know?
You can pass.
I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna keep thinking.
So you get your third round. Maybe something will come to you.
Yeah. I'm gonna pass.
Maybe somebody will mention something that has a sequel or something. Clark, what else have you got?
Okay, so the last one I got, and I'm not sure if it's gonna be in the top 10, but Kenneth Branagh made a movie called How to Kill Your Neighbor's Dog. Is that on there?
I'm gonna have to look for a second. I don't even recall that being movie. A thing.
It's a real movie. How to Kill Your. He directed it in the 90s. I think Robin Wright's in it.
He's really bounced back with Belfast, and now this next. He's Johnson over in the UK. He just looks incredible. The makeup's amazing. That's not on the list.
Okay, not in the top 10.
In there. But you're doing pretty good. At 18 points. I think it's insurmountable, I'd say. But let's continue just for, you know, the fun of it. If Corey has any other how-tos to suggest.
I'm just going to pray to the God above that they made a film adaptation of How to Win Friends and Influence People, because I can't think of...
Terrific guess. I like your head's in the game. Not correct there. Anything else, Rory? Any final words?
I'm going to guess How to Train your Friend's Dragon. I'm going to say that they made a spinoff that was all about helping your friend.
I think there have been spinoffs, in, like a TV series or something, but that's not the title.
Damn it.
Unfortunately. So Clark wins this game. All she wins, fellas, don't get too rattled, because all she wins is she goes first in the next game that we're going to play in a second. But let me, tell everybody what was missed in this game. Number two on the list was how to be single. I assume maybe getting some action off of like Dakota Johnson's been having a pretty good career surge. So maybe it's because of her. We did number three and four and five. Six is how to talk to girls at parties.
Oh, no, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best we can do for that. And then in number seven, if anybody had known the full title of How to Train Your Dragon, no three, no number, just : The Hidden World.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It crazy. Hid from us. Very well hidden.
It was such a well hidden title. And then number eight was How to Steal a Million. Nine was How to Marry a Millionaire. And 10 was a movie with Beanie Feldstein sporting a British accent unconvincingly called How to Build a Girl.
Wow.
And that is a game that is over called Little Search Engine That Could. We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and Clark, you get to go first in our deciding game today. This is the one it all comes down to, and today it's a game I call Weird Algorithm. We're going back to our friends at IMDb. I use them frequently. There's no promotional connection other than the fact that I am DB when you really think about it. So I discovered on IMDb that they have this popularity algorithm that the last game was also based on, where if you are looking at a movie, let's say, because this is Douglas Movies, you're looking at the cast of a movie on there, you can refine the list of the cast in order of a popularity according to IMDb. So it's really interesting to see, you know, how the big stars of the movie might not necessarily land in the top spots, at least not today. So this is how the game works. Clark will go first. I'll name a movie, and she'll name somebody that she thinks would be, listed as the most popular person in that movie today. If you get the most popular, you get 3 points. Second most popular, 2 points. Third most popular, 1 point. Anybody else that you name that's in the movie, no points. But I'll even tell you who's in the movie if you want to know. Everybody can share answers, so it's strategic. You can pick the same answer as the other players if you want, but at some point somebody's got to take a chance, and that might come down to the tiebreaker. Clark, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I need a drink.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules, but it's good. I like
it. Yeah, just a water, you know, but I got a little cotton mouth going on. Okay, the movie. It's in theaters now, and it's got quite a cast. And it's called Bullet Train.
Oh, okay.
Who's in Bullet Train, Clark?
Bradley
Pitt. You don't have to, your first, you know, just say who you think is in it.
I think Brad Pitt's in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. Well, I thought, does Sandra Bullock have a cameo in it? I'm pretty sure.
She is, it's interesting. In the movie, it's kind of like they switched roles, because in The Lost City, yes, he pops in for a bit. And in this one, she pops in for a bit. But the TV ads, I think they feel the movie's underperforming because now the TV ads are featuring her and it's kind of supposed to be a surprise that she shows up in the movie.
Got it.
But you hear her voice a lot before you see her. And I'm like, that's Sandra Bullock. Like, I wasn't like thinking that was anybody else but her, you know?
As a Sandy B super fan, I did know that she was making a surprise appearance in that.
Yes. Movie. So there's another surprise appearance that I won't reveal unless, you know, somebody wants to, you know, if any of you know what it is. You can say it if you want to, but we've got Michael Shannon is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Zazie Beetz. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is just such a chameleon. Like, I was watching that movie just going, I can't believe that's kick-ass. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So he's so different. Bad Bunny is in it. And Joey King is in it.
Okay.
So those are kind of like the... What would be arguably all the top billed people. So of all those people, Clark, who do you think is number one today on IMDb?
I'm going to say Brad Pitt.
Okay. And also you get a chance. You get one last chance to switch your answer after you hear what everybody else has to say. What do you think, Rory?
I'm going to say Joey King.
This
is about who's trending, right? Like on IMDb.
I get, yeah. It's who, yeah. You know, who's the hottest on IMDb. You're going Joey King.
Yeah.
What do you think, Corey?
I'm going to once again take my wife's advice if she's not here, but I know that this person's in this movie because of my wife, and my wife has her finger on the pulse of America. I'm going to go with Bad Bunny.
You like Bad Bunny in this situation?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now that everybody has made their peace, does anybody want to change their answer?
I'll stay.
Stay.
Sit or stay? I should come up with specific words you're supposed to say, but I think we're in agreement that everyone is locked in. And here's how it breaks down. Michael Shannon, Zazie Beetz, a cameo I'm not going to spoil that nobody mentioned, and Sandra Bullock all fell past. Sandra Bullock came in fourth. Mm. So for the points, in third place is Brad Pitt.
Oh, the old man.
So Clark is on the board with 1 point. And then number two is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Probably people are excited. He's playing somebody in the MCU he's going to be in the DC universe because he's dead in the MCU. Because he was, you know, the witch's brother, Scarlet Witch's brother, who died in Age of Ultron. Anyway. Number one, nice pull, Rory's Joey King.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It's true. The kids do love Joey King.
Yeah, but I guess maybe it's not translating into box office because it's very clear she's in the movie in the previews and stuff. And I see this. There's this big billboard over on Sunset Boulevard or the other side of a building that's just a huge, you know, ad for Bullet Train. It's all these great actors, you know, Michael Shannon and everybody, and they all have very distinct cool looks, and that to me, like, there's definitely some awesome choreography in it. It's fun enough, I guess, but it's just funny how the if you look at the poster, that's their characters, whatever they're dressed up as, that's the entire character development.
I think it's hard to find movies, and I know people love that fucking, they became a series, but things that take places on trains, you got to be in the right mood.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah, Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer is great, but like every time I want to watch it a second time, I'm like, I don't know, it's a lot of train, you know, like it's just a lot of train.
Yeah, and this is a lot of fighting in trains in very close quarters. So it's a lot of shaky, the choreography is very, it's cool and it's very violent. And, but everybody's just sort of playing caricatures and not even and seeming all, to have.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but all of those characters are on a train.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I haven't rushed to see it.
It's going really fast too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. It was that other Bullet Train movie with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Not a bad train. I mean, you know, not a right. bad train flick, but
yeah, but what a spoiler of a title.
Yeah.
One of my turns favorite.
I was right.
One of my favorite episodes of Rick and Morty was a train episode where they were making fun of people that do train things, like train movies. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I'm trying to remember that Rick and Morty. I've seen all of the Rick and Mortys. I'm trying to remember it.
Yeah, they're on a train like and they use it as a story device or whatever. And they've got the dude who he's the conductor, but in real life he's actually playing a video game. And then he gets split in half, and it's pretty rad.
Yeah,
That's not the video game. I'm sorry. No, we're just
that's all right. Back to the Future 3 is a train instead of a DeLorean.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because trains have a rich history in time travel films.
Rick and Morty always nail that shit, man. I got to go back and rewatch that.
I still don't know why in Ferris Bueller they think that they can, that if they put the car in the reverse, that would take miles off of the car that it had traveled.
Yeah. Just an old
they didn't thing. Drive those miles backwards. Listen, if they drove it on the streets backwards, maybe.
Urban legends. And there was no Google back then, and urban legend just stuck.
But that's interesting though. If you go in reverse, if you drove everywhere in reverse, you'd never have any mileage on your car.
You'd have negative.
Okay. All right. Sorry for that, but my mind turns to the next round of Weird Algorithm. Rory has 3 points, Clark has one, and Corey, it's always great to have you on the show. The film is the Academy Award nominated and highly decorated in the Rotten Tomatoes world animated motion picture, The Mitchells versus the Machines. Terrific cast in this movie. Such funny, amazing people. Abby Jacobson, Danny McBride, the aforementioned, Maya Rudolph, Eric Andre, Olivia Colman, Oscar winner, Fred Armisen, and strangely enough, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. So, any of you see this movie, The Mitchells versus Machines, on, I believe it's on Netflix?
Not yet, but I heard wonderful things. My touring partner, Trey Crowder, had told me about it. He watched it with his kids and said it was just one of the absolute best films of the year, like not just animated, but just overall. He said it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's just not as emotional as Encanto, so that's why that one for best movie. But right. it's really good, and it's the dude who directed it. He came on our show, super nice guy, and like I said, a fun voice cast. But out of those names, the next person in line gets to go first. So that's Rory. You get a pick first this time. Which one out of those names do you think is the most popular?
Fuck, man, there was so much time in between you saying all those names. Can you say them one more time?
I know. It's a real good memory test, but it feels like none of them jumped out at you as being maybe the one.
Well, I wasn't thinking. I was just absorbing the I heard what you said.
Yeah.
Armisen, Eric Andre. I just
you got it.
Hit
him
quick.
Know
just
it.
Hit
you
him quickly. Quickly. Yeah. Just
Olivia Colman, Abby Jacobson, Danny McBride, Maya Rudolph. And the Teigens, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
And there was one, Olivia Colman, you said was in there, right? And who's trending number one of that group of people at the
Who do you think's the hottest right now?
At the moment?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Abby Jacobson because of The League of Their Own that people are fucking talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's on that show on what's it on?
One of those.
Amazon.
It's a Prime?
I think so.
It is.
Oh, okay. That's funny because I kind of feel like I watched the first episode and it felt like, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but a baseball team instead of a comedian. And I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy them both. Who was next? Clark.
Me. Okay.
Yes.
I was also leaning towards Abby or Maya because I know Maya has that show out on Apple, but I'm going to actually agree and say it's Abby.
Okay. Corey, what do you think? Do you want to split off from them or go with the...
Yeah, I'm going to go with Maya Rudolph just to be different and because I actually don't think it is a dumb guess. I was going to guess Olivia Colman just because Peaky Blinders just came out and she had passed and I thought, you know, maybe, but it's probably not. I'm going to go with Maya Rudolph.
Wait, you're telling us Olivia Colman is dead?
Oh, not, no, excuse me. I was thinking of fucking, oh my God.
That was breaking news.
I get Olivia Colman and, oh my Lord, holy fuck, from Peaky Blinders that played Paul. Holy shit.
Diana Rigg?
I just realized that I get them mixed up in my head. Holy hell. Well, hey.
Helen McCrory is her name.
Yeah, God damn it. That was, yes, please don't. Sorry, everybody. I did not mean to insinuate. Yeah, I'm going to go with Maya Rudolph.
Okay. Is everybody else good with their answers?
I mean, I'm second guessing myself, and I'm just going to stick.
I'm such an idiot.
I like it. Why are you an idiot?
Because I just accidentally killed Olivia Colman on your podcast.
No, we know she's doing all right. She just came off another Oscar nomination for that weird movie about sitting around the beach being jealous of people.
And The Crown should come back out next month. Although,
oh my God.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So Eric Andre came in seventh. Danny McBride came in sixth. I feel like when he shows up in another thing, he'll pop up again on these, you know, it'll perk him up because whenever he has a new show, it's so great.
Eric Andre or McBride?
Danny McBride. Eric Andre is a slimy piece of... No, I'm kidding. and then number four, this one. Oh, so close, Corey. Maya Rudolph came in the fourth slot.
Damn it.
On this list. The much talked about Olivia Colman was third. You know, someone I thought, if anybody knows this, good for them. They'll maybe pick up some points. Apparently, there's a little girl named Madeline McGrew. Who hits the second spot, so she must be like some kids show or some shit.
Madeline was just in The Black Phone.
Oh, the kid in The Black Phone?
She's the sister in The Black Phone, I believe.
Oh, there you go.
If it's Madeline McGraw.
Well, good for her in Black Phone that is, you know, popped up the list like this. I mean, she's only, I don't know how she ranks overall. I just know that she's ahead of Olivia Colman and Maya Rudolph, but not quite enough juice for her to surpass. You did it again, Rory. Abby Jacobson is number one.
That sounds about right to me.
Just so you know, I'm doing this podcast from the TMZ offices. So I have a little bit of a fucking advantage. I'm just hearing the guys gaggle on the other side of this fucking cubicle, and I just hear all the juice.
Well, it's still anybody's game, except for, you know, Corey couldn't possibly win. But it's fun to have him as a spoiler, and he gets to go first on this next one. And, you know, everybody gets a share answer, so the order doesn't matter that much. But if we go to a tiebreaker, then Clark gets to take first stab at it, and then Rory has to pick somebody else, and whoever ranks higher wins. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We might have a flat-out win here. The movie, Corey, is Steven Spielberg's The Post.
Oh God!
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like when you hear Steven Spielberg, you think, "Oh, this is going to be a fun, exciting movie." The Post. But what a cast: Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Sarah Paulson, Bob Odenkirk, Tracy Letts, Jesse Plemons, David Cross, and Alison Brie, just to name most of them.
Who,
Corey? Which one of them do you think would?
It's hard to think that either Tom Hanks or Meryl Streep wouldn't be number one at anything, but Better Call Saul just ended. And I'm going to go with Bob Odenkirk just because I want to.
I appreciate that. You got to just go with your heart.
Yeah. I'm not going to win. So let's just make a moral victory.
I love it. Bob is so, he's so good on that show, and that movie Made Nobody is really fun and good.
It's so good.
He's tremendous. What do you think, Rory?
Can I try to recite some of the people you said in that cast? You said Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, uh-huh. Odin Kirk, uh-huh. and David Cross, the whole Mr.
Uh-huh. They're both in it, yeah.
Wow. Sarah Paulson.
And Allison Breeze in it, Jesse right. Plemons, Tracy Letts.
And we're going for who's trending of all those people right now at number
mm-hmm. one.
I'm gonna go with Ryan. I mean with Corey on this one. And
you're agreeing with him on
I'm gonna say Odin Kirk's number one. I think his logic is sound.
All right, Clark.
All right. I am actually going to break with the group here and say Allison Brie. She's got a movie out right that just came out on AMC Plus.
Right.
And so I'm going to, it's tough. This is tough, but I'm going to say, because Hanks just had Elvis too. So Elvis 2, the sequel.
I think that's called How to Train Your Ponies.
I'll say Allison Brie.
All right. Well, you all dodged a bullet on Meryl Streep because shockingly, she's in the list, the cast of this movie, she's like number 8.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's like, but
don't,
you know,
don't worry just about Meryl. She'll, yeah. Don't worry. Next thing
yeah. she does, please. She's going to be fine. then we got, looks like Jesse Plemons just missed the top 3 at number 4. And then at number 3, Allison Brie.
Oh, no.
Good call that she was up there, but she wasn't up there quite high enough. At number 2 is Mr. Tom Hanks, who does seem to be like, obviously Elvis has got a lot of Tom Hanks talk going around for his portrayal for his work sitting in the makeup chair for 5 hours every day. And then number 1, so exciting. Rory went 3 for 3, Mr. Bob Odenkirk.
Nice.
Talk about Rory. I'm going to call you Rory, understanding the assignment.
Hey, well done. Can I just say on top of that, you don't make the assignment easy to understand.
No, I know. That's the part of it that's like so impressive is that impenetrable web of instructions. You still manage to pull it off. You, each round you ask me, now we're looking for the number one
person. Yeah, I have to be really clear what the
plan was. And then you named it, and then you proceeded to name it. It was all very clear what was happening. All the time, and congratulations, and you get to plug yourself first. What would you like to promote?
Oh, man.
Rory, you're going to be in Vegas soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be. That's what I'll promote. I mean, this weekend, I'm opening for Sarah Silverman, and I'm going to be one of the comics on Sarah Silverman and Friends. So come to that in Vegas. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Glass is going to be there limping around, right?
Yeah, Todd Glass just had knee surgery, apparently. He's going to be there. So,
oh, my God, the bone spur was in his knee?
Oh, no, is it foot surgery? I know he has where he's wheeling around.
Yeah, it was bone spurs, so that's why I made that bone spur in his knee joke.
that's from pacing around and complaining about lighting all the time.
Yeah, and also Atsuko.
He busted his foot complaining about the drapes. I'm sorry, Rory. You were saying?
No, I was saying also. You know, Atsuko. She's super funny. Great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great lineup. Great show. What venue in Vegas?
It's at the Wynn Casino. It's going to be really
Wynn. Oh, that place! You walk in there. What a gorgeous lobby. Lots of flowers everywhere. And people nearby losing their homes.
But listen, one of the things I'm most excited about for the weekend is the lobby of the Wynn.
I'll tell you what, you shouldn't say whether you're staying at the Wynn or not, but off.
Well, no, the gig is at the Wynn.
You don't have to stay there.
No, we don't have to.
You know, sometimes you have to.
Where we're staying.
sometimes, you know, if you have the security team, they probably suggest don't stay at the hotel where the venue is. But I you know, I don't
know. Well, you know your shit, man.
But anyway, have fun in Vegas. Thank you for doing the show.
Of course, man.
And that was terrific the way you figured all of that out. But no slouch herself. Clark Wolf, what are your plugs?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Clark Wolf, Clark with an E, Wolf with an E. And then every week at twitch.tv/FearHQ, Halloween's coming up. So we do spooky movie TV content all year round. So join us over there. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Corey. Dad. Thank you. Corey, Ryan, Forrester.
Thank you for once again letting me embarrass myself publicly, Doug. I would like to promote and plug me and Trey Crowder's new podcast. It's called Putting on Airs. And the contention of the podcast is me and Trey are both slack-jawed dipshit rednecks, and we talk about fancy stuff and their culture, such as the royals. I'll do a history lesson on Marie Antoinette. Trey will try to talk about where fancy people culture and redneck stuff overlaps, such as getting drunk. We do it and they do it, but how we differ may surprise you. And also, we just released our first sister show, which is with my sister. Me and my sister Kirby are doing a review of The House of the Dragon, and our show, Little House of the Dragon, can be found on the Putting on Airs feed.
Little House of the Dragon.
Yeah, and
you decided to do this sight unseen, or was it after you'd witnessed episode one?
It was right. So like we knew that it was, it was about to come out, and me and Trey had been talking about other ways to promote Putting on Airs. And I was like, let's do a watch along or review of The House of the Dragon. And he was like, man, I ain't got time right now. And I was like, well, you know who always has time and is the biggest TV show nerd I know? My sister. So let's introduce her to the world. So we started doing that, and it's going well, only one episode in. It came out today as we're recording this.
Yeah. So, but you've seen the first episode. Are you excited for more, or is it disappointing? Where are you at?
No, I'm very excited. I mean, to me, the bar was not really that high because of how poorly Game of Thrones ended. It was almost to me like, just give us something with action that's competent and we'll be happy. And I really enjoyed it. I'm a huge Matt Smith fan, from Doctor Who and, of course, on The Crown. So I love him. And no, I thought it was great. I'm excited.
I like any actor who, just takes a moment to get their hair did at the Legolas hair salon.
I love that,
because he's totally got the Orlando Bloom from Lord of the Rings hairdo.
Yes, he does.
Well, thank you for all. That's TV, so I don't talk about it too much, but it's definitely interesting. Doug Loves Movies is going to be at Dynasty Typewriter here in Los Angeles on September 17th at 4:20. And then we'll be doing it up in San Francisco at the Punchline on October 15th. Also at 4:20, douglovesmovies.com, as y'all know. One more time. I mean, there's nobody here to, there's no applause necessarily, but I'd like to say all your names once again. Thank you, Clark Wolf, Corey Ryan Forrester, and Rory Albanese. Now, Rory.
Yeah.
Did you have enough fun that you would be willing to come back?
I would come back and do this anytime. And I want to say to Clark and Corey, I had a blast hanging out with you guys. So
nice to meet you, Rory. Thank you. Because
then that's the next question. Do you want to, I will get you back soon if you're up for it.
I'd love to. Yeah. Shit, I forgot I was going to tell you one other thing, but clearly not urgent. What I was going to say. I wanted to say this. To Doug and Corey, I think when Clark's horror movie comes out, we should all go see it.
Oh, that's fun. Ooh.
I would love to do that.
Just make a date now and just commit to it. And when it comes out, we just fucking text each other and we just do it.
I have to assume after my last two performances on Doug Loves Movies that I may be on some sort of probation, but I would love to go see the film.
Y'all are the best. I'll be sure to send details as they are available.
I like that you think I can, you know, actually, you know, remember everything well enough to, you know, put together a list of people on probation. A lot of times I'll have a guest on like halfway through them being on. I'll be like, well, that's why I wasn't anxious to have him back. But everybody's so, I've been just having a great time with everybody these days because, you know, mostly over Zoom, it's harder to be like, you know, disruptive. And then when I do a show in front of a live audience, if the disruptive person is being funny, then that's very entertaining. So I love that we've just been able to push through and keep doing this show and that we are bringing it live again. So, Rory, if you came back next week and won, you'd be invited to come back the next week. If you won that one, then you'd move on to our live show on September 17th with an audience, which Corey can tell you, Clark can tell you, is more fun than doing it.
Dude, it's a blast.
Both are good. But
I'm gonna be in Vegas on Sunday, as I told you. So
next Sunday.
But I could probably do it this coming one. Yeah. Let me just sit
in the hotel room for an hour doing this. I mean, you know, it might get you away from the table, save you some money.
Yeah, no, it'll get me away from the shops.
Oh, right. God, you can't, that guy, you can't,
I'll either
can't
be
get at, him to leave Caesar's Forum. He's there day and night.
You can't get me out of that Rolex store at the Venetian.
All right. Well, I'll pencil you in and circle back and make sure you're cool with it. Because, it is kind of like being on vacation when you perform in Vegas.
Yeah,
and
this isn't too much work, man.
Yeah. And your schedule isn't necessarily your own. But thank you to all three of you. Everybody's welcome back whenever they want, of course. And I close every show with the last line of a movie. Hit me up on Twitter if you know what this one's from. As always, gentlemen, to our wives.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.